So I am so happy to be back. I missed you guys. I told Rhonda I feel so fortunate because some people have two houses. I have two homes. I don't have two houses, but I have two homes. And I feel completely at home in South Carolina with my family, completely. But I feel completely at home with you guys too here in Ohio. So I just feel super blessed to be able to say that, really. Thank you to Dave and the worship team and our administrators for covering so beautifully in my absence. I never ever have to worry about anything while I'm gone. And that's a blessing to be able to get away and renew and refresh. So I'm thankful. So today we're going to wrap up our series on together. Everybody say together.
Together.
Yep. And you don't have to raise your hand on this part, but I have some questions for you. Have any of you felt, especially in the past 18 months, that your love keeps getting challenged? I'm raising both hands. Have any of you thought, I really want to love well, but that person is just irritating me. That person is getting on my last nerve, right? That I am more aware than ever of those I disagree with, but I want to keep loving them in my heart. I just keep feeling like I'm falling short, like I'm trying harder to get less accomplished in the love arena, right? So today we're going to talk about stronger love, because if we're going to stay together in heart and mind, like Philippians talks about and Ephesians talks about, we're going to stay together, we're going to have to tap into a love that's stronger than ours. It's not going to happen without a stronger love, because my love falls short. As much as I don't want it to, my love falls short. But God's love never does. My love gets weary and irritated and exasperated, but God's love never does. So I'm going to talk today about two stronger loves. Number one, love that is stronger than differences. Woohoo! Love can be bigger than differences. I love that our love has been challenged in this way, because we can discover that love really is bigger than differences. Love is stronger than differences. So first I want to look at two unlikely characters in the Bible who had pretty massive differences at the beginning, Paul and Ananias, okay? So I'm just going to pick up with chapter 9, verse 10. It says this, living in Damascus was a believer. Now, let me back up. Paul has just had his Damascene conversion on the road to Damascus, right? Where he saw a bright light, he's blinded. And so that's where we pick up. Living in Damascus was a believer named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling his name, Ananias. Yes, Lord? Ananias answered. The Lord said, go at once to the street called Abundance and look for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He was called Saul at this time. You will find him at Judah's house. While he was praying, he saw in a supernatural vision a man named Ananias, that's you, buddy, coming to lay hands on him to restore his sight. I just love Ananias' response. Just love it, because it sounds like something I would say. I love it. But Lord, Ananias replied, many have told me about his terrible persecution of those in Jerusalem who are devoted to you. In fact, the high priest has authorized him to seize and imprison all those in Damascus who call on your name. So what's the difference here? It's pretty obvious. Saul has been killing believers. Ananias has been leading believers. Pretty straightforward. One is a good guy, one is a bad guy, right? That's how we see it in our thinking. Good guy versus bad guy. But I find it hilarious that Ananias is telling God about Saul. Many have told me, right? As if the king of the universe doesn't know what he's talking about. As if the one who spoke to him in a vision doesn't know the guy named Saul. Right? Hilarious. But I found myself wondering how many times God has told me something and I tell him, well, many have said this, 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 this. And many have said this, 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 this. And God is just saying, what do I say? What do I say? I think part of the problem where we get caught up in differences without letting our love be bigger than our difference is where we talk about what many have said instead of what God has said. Many have told me. Verse 15, the Lord Yahweh answered him, arise and go. He didn't defend Saul. He didn't say, yeah, you're right. He's a bad guy. But now he's seen, he didn't do any of that. He just said, arise and go. I have chosen this man to be my special messenger. He will be brought before kings, before many nations, and before the Jewish people to give them the revelation of who I am. And I will show him how much he is destined to suffer because of his passion for me. Ananias left and found the house where Saul was staying. He went inside and laid hands on him, saying, Saul, my brother, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to pray for you so that you might see again and be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. I love that God just said, listen. He didn't even say, I know all that. He just said, arise and go. And it was so convincing to Ananias that when he saw him, he didn't say, okay, we've been on different sides of this fence for a while. He didn't do that. He said, Saul, my brother. What if our love got so much stronger than our differences that we saw people who used to be enemies as our brothers? Ah. You see, Ananias made a choice here. He chose to see Saul as God saw him instead of as Saul's history saw him. Or as what many have told him about Saul. He made a decision. It was an intentional decision that he made. And then Saul, I mean, really, Saul had to figure out how to let someone who was formerly his enemy, who he thought was a quackadoodle, right? That's what he thought. That's why he was killing Christians, not because he was bad, because he really thought he was taking care of business for God. Wonder if I've ever done that. Saul had to figure out how to let that person pray for him. Now, when you're blind, you do kind of have some convictions about it. You have some convincing that's happened. I don't know if he weren't blind, if he would have been so free to let someone else pray. I don't know, but he did. So those people definitely had some major differences, but their differences became smaller than their love. Their love became stronger. Let's look at Peter and John. Have you ever considered the fact that during Passion Week, Peter got out of Dodge? Not only did he run away and desert Jesus, but he made a public statement that was a lie 3 times about the situation. No, I don't know that guy. No, I don't know that guy. John, on the other hand, it's implied that John never left Jesus' side during that time. Maybe in the garden for a little bit, but it seems like John was with him definitely during the crucifixion, because when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, here is your mother, here is your son, to John, right? So Peter and John had some pretty massive differences there. But you know what I found this week that intrigued me? And we don't know how they got from being in separate places, but we know that after the crucifixion, they were together in the same room. How did they go? I mean, Peter had to have some feelings about having deserted. He had to feel some shame. He had to feel some guilt. And John had to probably feel some irritation that Peter disappeared, the loudest voice gone. Like, they had to have some feelings about that. But the next time we see them, they're together, right? And we know this. Because in John 20:1-3, after the resurrection, it says, very early Sunday morning before sunrise, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. And when she arrived, she discovered that the stone that sealed the entrance to the tomb was moved away. So she went running as fast as she could to go tell Peter and the other disciple, John. This is written in John. John only calls himself the other disciple or the one Jesus loved. There it is, the one Jesus loved. She told them, they've taken the Lord's body from the tomb and we don't know where he is. Then Peter and the other disciple jumped up and ran together to the tomb to see for themselves. You see, they had some pretty big differences, but somehow they found their way back together even before they knew Jesus had risen from the dead. I find that so significant. They found a love that was stronger than differences. Now let's make this easier to see. Can you think of some differences that we might have? Don't be shy. Come out with it. How am I different from someone else? Okay. Tall and short, definitely. How else am I different? Weight. Oh, Jesus, help me. So true. Huh? Age. Young, old? Come on, somebody say the one you know you're thinking of.
Color.
Color. Politics.
Oh.
Hmm?
Diet.
Diet. Mm-hmm.
Gender.
Personality. Hair, yes, you have beautiful black brown hair. I don't.
What is money? Rich?
Poor? Oh, income, yes. Uh-huh.
Education.
Education. Abilities.
Language.
Social standing. Huh?
Language.
Language, that's a good one, yeah. I mean, we could do all of these and more, but we'll stop there. Well, let's just put a few more in just for fun. Okay, beliefs, sports, oh yeah, oh, yeah, some people need to get saved, and then they'll stop liking the Steelers. I couldn't resist, Johnny, you know that, right? Couldn't resist. Now I want you to look at what happens to differences when God's love goes in. Just watch. Are you ready to watch? Don't miss it. God's love. I hope my picture doesn't shatter with the hot water.
Did you see this on TikTok?
No, I didn't see it on TikTok. Check it out.
That really worked.
Can you see? Yeah, right? I know. No, my sister gave me this one. Uh-huh. You can still see some little floating differences at the top. They haven't been immersed enough in God's love. They keep trying to get away, and so they're floating at the top. But if we leave them in there long enough, they'll dissolve. Listen, I don't pretend that there aren't differences. In fact, I cherish and treasure that we have differences. We all bring something different to the table, of God's banquet, and he needs all of us. He needs all of us. But when we start letting our differences separate us and cause us to dislike each other or speak poorly of each other, that's when there's a problem. In Galatians 3, 26 through 28, it says, "You have all become true children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith immersed you into Christ, and now you are covered and clothed." Oh, I love that. "With his life. And now we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, fat or thin, tall or short, Democrat or Republican, male or female. We don't see each other that way because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ." There is a love that is stronger than differences. And we have an opportunity in this pandemic age to shine like never before. So we need to stick to the good news. I've been amazed at the number of Christians who have reverted back to their shame tool. Shame on you for wearing a mask. Shame on you for not wearing a mask. Shame on you for getting the jab. Shame on you for not getting the jab. Stop. Stop it. This is good news that we have here. We can let those differences dissolve in the love of God. We don't have to put shame on anybody. We don't have to convince anybody our way is right and their way is wrong. We just let it wash out with the love of God. That's all. Not only is love stronger than differences, love is stronger than offense. Ooh. Some of you are offended over what I just said, so you need the second part, right? Matthew 5, 21 through 24. Jesus is talking. Yeah, Jesus is talking. He says, "You're familiar with the commandment taught to those of old, 'Do not murder or you will be judged.' But I'm telling you, if you hold anger in your heart toward a fellow believer, you are subject to judgment. And whoever demeans and insults a fellow believer is answerable to the congregation. And whoever calls down curses upon a fellow believer is in danger of being sent to a fiery hell." We're not going to get into that. That's a whole theological thing, but let's just move on to verse 23. No matter what you believe about hell, you don't want to go there. Whether it's a valley or eternal punishment, you don't want to be in it either way, okay? "So then, if you are presenting a gift before the altar and suddenly you remember a quarrel you have with a fellow believer, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go at once to apologize to the one who is offended. Then after you have reconciled, then come to the altar and present your gift." I think one of my biggest pet peeves about Jesus and the way he's taught is that people think he lowered the bar. He raised the bar. He said, not only am I saying don't hate or don't kill each other, but I'm saying if you have hatred in your heart for another believer, you got a problem, even if you don't kill him. Okay? He raised the bar. It was so much raised that he said, even if you're bringing your worship or your tithe or your talent or any other gift and you want to lay it at God's feet, just leave it there and go and reconcile to your brother or sister and then come back and do it. And he made it clear how to make your love stronger than offense, but it's not a fun way. It's not a fun little illustration. It's by apologizing. Yikes. Years ago, I was homeschooling three sons, ages 12, 8, and 6. I should have some kind of crown in heaven for that. Just saying. We had math meltdowns. Oh, it was a challenge. And we were having a rough day. Listen, I had those beautiful homeschooling days that I treasure, where all my kids were learning something at the same time and teaching each other, and that was beautiful. This was not one of those days. This was a day from you know where. It was rough. It was like they were all at each other. They were picking at each other. They were fighting constantly. It was just constant. And I lost my patience, I admit it. But I finally got a clue, and I'll never forget. I can still see it in my head. I lined them up on my sofa, and I said, okay, it's been a rough day. We're going to turn it around now by answering this question. Remington, what have you done wrong today? Now, what do you think he said? No, he said, well, Ethan did this. Max did this. No. I said, what have you done? And it took some pulling. And you would think after Rem got it, then Ethan would fall in line. No. Ethan, what have you done wrong today? Well, Rem did this. If he hadn't done this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, what did you do wrong today? We went down the line, and I said, here's what I did wrong today. I lost my patience, and I yelled when I shouldn't have yelled, right? Why is it so hard for us to apologize? They're hard. But Jesus said, take care of that before you come and do this. Take care of that before you come and do this, right? I think apologizing is scary. Talk about fear. I think it's scary because I think there's a part of us that fears, what if someone rejects me when I admit I blew it? What if they just walk away and don't want to love me anymore? Maybe it's scary because you are afraid they will use that information against you and never let you live it down. Maybe it's scary because if we're all being honest, we want to put our best foot forward all the time. And we want to see in the best light, be seen in the best light all the time, right? And apologizing, it's vulnerable. It's like opening up your heart for someone and going, okay, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to stab it? Are you going to laugh at it? Are you going to injure it? Are you going to walk away from it? Scary. It's also humbling, right? We had a professor in college, J. Bashford Bishop was his name. I loved him because I went to a Christian university. And he would frequently, I had him right after chapel, and he would still be soaking in the Holy Spirit from chapel. And we would come into class, and he would just start praying over us and giving us wisdom and speaking God's words. And the material, the curriculum sometimes hit the road, right? But one time he said, listen, if you want to have healthy relationships in your life, learn to say these four things. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I love you. And they stuck with me. And I find myself often wondering, when's the last time I said I'm sorry? So the first step on how to apologize, because sometimes we just need reminding, right? The first step, I'm sorry. Now here's how not to say I'm sorry. Got that right? It's not, I'm sorry, but, da, 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 da. Yeah. Nope. Wah. Nope. Get your butts out of there. Not, I'm sorry you took it that way. That's not I'm sorry. That's I'm sorry you're so tender and sensitive that you can't handle me. That's what it is. That's not I'm sorry. No, that's I'm sorry. You're sorry. Mm-mm. Not, hey, I was just kidding. Oh, that used to infuriate me when my brothers would do that. They would say something hurtful, and I would be like, stop, that hurt my feelings. And they'd be like, I was just kidding. still hurt. That's not an apology. How about if you just say, I'm sorry, and then put your hand over your mouth for a minute. Number two, here's where you get specific. I was wrong to, you fill in the blank. I was wrong to yell at you today, boys. I was wrong. But if you hadn't done that better, nope. I was wrong to yell at you. Number three, and this is even harder because you have to crawl inside the skin of the person you've hurt and imagine how it must have hurt them. That must have hurt you because it must have been scary to see your mom out of control like that, yelling. It must have made you want to run away. It must have made you feel like you have no control. You see? That's what you do. I'm sorry. I was wrong too. That must have hurt you because... And then if they say, well, no, it didn't really hurt me that way, then how did it hurt you? Figure it out. And then number four, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? God made it really, really clear to me as I prepped for today that we need it. I need it. You need it. We all need it. The kids need it. The adults need it. The old people need it. The teenagers need it. God's love is stronger than differences, and it's stronger than offense. I have a video I want to share with you. It's only about 3 minutes long. It's called Stronger Love. That's how I got this message, really. And I want you to have a time of reflection. We often have communion during a video. Today, I don't want you moving. Please, if you can just stay in your seat. Don't go anywhere. We're almost finished. And just have a time of reflection. And I want you to ask God, God, what differences do you want to dissolve in my heart today? In my mind? God, how can I cooperate with you? How can I put myself under your love pouring out so that it can be stronger than differences? And then I want you to ask God, who do I need to apologize to? If you haven't apologized to anybody in the last 30 days, you probably need to. Maybe in the last 24 hours. I mean, really, if we're being honest, we're human beings and we blow it. So ask God, who do you want me to apologize to? And then listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. That's all. Okay. Thanks, Kim.
Just tired of picking. down. I need a stronger love right now. I try to feed that flame, it keeps burning out. I need a stronger love right now. Oh.
Seeing your grace poured out on us. God, help us not to point our fingers even with this message. God, we invite you into the cobwebs of our heart to clean out whatever needs to be cleaned out. God, give us the grace to recognize that your love is stronger than offense. It's stronger than differences. Help us to function in your love. When we feel our love falling short, help us to just run to you and say, okay, my love is falling short. I need your love. We need you, God. We want you. We recognize that your way is better. Our way is not. Your way is good. So we look to you for help today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be prepared. You're going to try to talk yourself out of whatever you decided to do. I don't know if it's the devil or the world or you, but something's going to try to get into your head and say, you don't really need to apologize. You've done it in your heart. That's good enough. Well, it doesn't require humility. So be brave. And here's what I can promise you. There's never been a time in my life when I apologized with the right heart when I regretted it. Never. I could feel love getting stronger after I did it. It's like that obedience came first, and then the fruit of that obedience came after. So I encourage you to, as Charles Stanley says, obey God and leave the consequences to him. Just obey God. No matter what somebody's going to think of you, no matter how they might respond, just obey God and leave the consequences to him, okay? Next week, as I was preparing this, I was thinking also about a theme for October. And I felt like God said, just keep on stronger love for the whole month of October. So we're going to go to stronger love. Check out that graphic. We're going to say yes to stronger love starting next week. Oh, Dave's going to show us his muscles. That's good. That's good. So here's the blessing for you today from Jude verses 20 and 21. But you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourself up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Fasten your hearts to the love of God and receive the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. Walk in that this week, okay? Thanks for coming. Have a great week. Love you guys.